It says, if you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. There's a story told of an old woman who lived in an attic room. And it was obvious to all who came that she took really good care of a strawberry plant that was in a broken teapot sitting in her windowsill. And one day, one of the people observed, "Your plant is growing and you will have fresh strawberries." And her reply to them was, "It is not for fresh fruit that I care for it. It is a comfort to have that plant living, for I know it can only live by the power of God. As I see it live and grow day by day, it tells me God is near." And I think all of us would have to acknowledge we like to know that God is near. We were created for community. We were created for fellowship. We see this in the Trinity, the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and how they exist in fellowship and unity together as one. We see it in the fact that Jesus surrounded himself with 12 close followers, disciples, apostles that we call them. We also see it in the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could have fellowship with God. But even knowing all of that, sometimes we feel alone. When we feel alone or abandoned, often we do not feel loved. Being alone and feeling alone is not something we like. And Jesus, here in these verses of scriptures that we read this morning, are preparing his disciples for his departure. Part of it is preparing them for his death, but part of it also is preparing them for his ascension after his resurrection. See, Jesus knows that very soon the disciples are going to be feeling alone, maybe even abandoned. He has been with them now for almost 3 years. But he's not going to be with them very much longer. And he wants them to know that when he's gone, they will not be alone. He promised them the Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted them to know that they were loved and that God would always be present with them. Jesus promised the disciples the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise that he has also given to us. God's desire is to always be present in us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to make our lives his home. But if this is going to happen, we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives because, let's face it, life is hard. Even in the most fun and joyful time of life, life is hard. You see, life is hard because there is separation. Remember, we were created for community. We were created for fellowship. But yet, people are always leaving. They're moving. You know, we raise our kids for 18 years, and the day comes, and 18, 20 years of age, that they pack up and they leave the house. They move out. People we know move away. And even with modern technology where we can Zoom and Skype and Messenger and all this other stuff, they're still gone. There is still that separation. There is separation because some relationships just break up. There are people who are close and they do everything together. I mean, it's almost like they live life together. Everywhere one goes, the other one goes, and they're just bonded together, and then something happens one day, and everything gets cross-wired, and the relationship falls apart. and they're gone. Some die, and they're gone. You see, life is full of fellowship disruptions. It's full of separations. It's hard. And the disciples were soon to experience separation. In fact, the truth is we have all experienced fellowship separation. We have all experienced it in one way or another. Life's hard. It's full of separation. Life is hard because there's also loneliness. We experience loneliness because of the separation. We experience loneliness because of depression. We experience loneliness because of social distancing. We experience loneliness even when we're in a crowd, because even with a whole lot of people around us, we're just not part of that fellowship. We're not part of the connection that's going on, and so even in a crowd, we feel all alone. Life is hard because there's always change. You know, have you noticed how nothing ever stays the same? Even when we want it to, nothing stays the same. Life is always changing. One person has said, the only constant in life is change. It's really the only thing we can count on to happen. It's going to happen. Change is going to happen. But the thing is, change is hard. Even if it's of our own making and it's something we choose, it's hard. The disciples were soon to face change. Jesus was soon to no longer be physically with them. And the truth is, in our lives today, we face change. Some of it we want. Some of it we plan for. Some of it we don't want. You know, in the midst of this pandemic we're in, you know, we don't want to be worshiping a parking lot. But yet here we are. It's a change. What we want is to be worshiping in the sanctuary, where it's nice and it's cool in the summer or warm in the winter. Well, that's where we want to be. That way we have that close family connection. But because of change, here we are in a parking lot. And hopefully soon we'll be able to get back into the sanctuary. But you know what? Even when we get back in the sanctuary, it's going to be different. It's not going to be the same. There's going to be change. There's going to still have to be social distancing. There's going to have to be the wearing of masks. It's just going to be different as we endeavor to do our best to follow the guidance that has been given us so that we can begin to worship in person again. The truth is, in life, we face all kinds of change. Life is hard. Life is hard because of fear. Separation brings fear. Loneliness brings fear. Change brings fear. See, life contains fear because of the unknown. We don't know what's coming up. None of us knows what tomorrow holds. Oh, we make our plans and we have our hopes and we have our dreams, but the truth is we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't even really know what's coming the rest of today. Life's hard. And because life is hard, Jesus made us a promise. He promised that we would not be orphans. He promised we would not be alone. He promised we will not be forgotten. There is a story told of the king of Senegal who sent 3 men with 3 months' supplies to guard a deserted, desert, barren island. The problem came when the king forgot about them and they died of starvation. A tragic end. We hear every year, usually in the summer, tragically, of how people forget and they leave their children and their pets locked in hot cars. And unless some passerby happens to see and breaks out the window, there is a tragic end because they were forgotten. Have you ever forgotten someone? Were you ever supposed to take someone someplace or pick someone up at some place at some particular time and you forgot about them and you weren't there and you didn't do what it was that you said you would do? Have you ever been forgotten? Have you ever forgotten and left your children asleep on a pew at church and went home without them? It happens. Forgotten. But what Jesus tells us is, He will not forget us. Jesus will not forget us. In fact, he says he will never forget us. He will never leave us alone. He is going to come to us. He is going to reveal himself to us. And we can know his presence. And we can have life through the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus wants us to know the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He said he was going to request it. He is going to ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit so we can know his presence and have fellowship with him. I think it's interesting to note that Jesus is not going to ask the Father to give us the Holy Spirit for a season or for a period of time. We read in the Old Testament how the Spirit would come and he came with a purpose, and when the task was completed, he went away. That's not the way it is. That's not what Jesus is promising. He is promising the Holy Spirit will never leave us. In other words, he is assuring us of fellowship with God. It's a promise that we can know his presence at all times, regardless of what's going on in our lives. The Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus, is to us that we can experience fellowship, that we can have intimate fellowship with him. And so we find the Holy Spirit has this work cut out for him that he is to do. The Greek word that Jesus used here, parakletos, it's a Greek word that's really hard to nail down its meaning in the English language. It's translated different ways in different translations. The King James says he is the comforter, or he brings comfort. And you know, like so many English words, this one has changed in meaning since it was first used. Because when we think of comfort, what do we think about? We think about soothing someone, sympathizing with someone, consoling someone, trying in some way to cheer someone up who is in sorrow. We're there to comfort them. But the English word originally comes from two Latin words that means with strength. And so even though we don't find this in modern day English dictionaries, true comfort strengthens us to face life bravely and to keep on going. It's not about soothing us, not about consoling us, it's about strengthening us. The Holy Spirit strengthens us to live life. He doesn't come just to soothe us. He comes to make us stronger that we bravely can face whatever it is life is dishing out for us. He gives us strength. Some other ways the word is translated is counselor and encourager. The New Living Translation that we read from this morning calls him the advocate. One against you who stands at your side to plead your case. I think it's interesting to note that this is not really referring to a lawyer in a court of law who stands up to plead your case to get you acquitted of a crime. No, this is just someone who stands up for you. They speak up for you. They're there sort of as a character witness that yes, you are who you say you are. The advocate is one who comes alongside of. He is one who walks with you to strengthen you, to help you down the road of life. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes and he strengthens us and he helps us in life, a life that is hard. The Holy Spirit is described as the other or another advocate, another comforter, another paracletus. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, John tells us that Jesus is a paraclete. Jesus is an advocate who intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. And so we find the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ sent to continue the work of Christ in his followers. Jesus says, You have me now, I'm here, and you will have me then as well. So the disciples had Jesus with them, walking amongst them, and now the Spirit of Jesus is coming to help them once Jesus is gone. You see, the Holy Spirit has the task that he is to perform that helps us, that strengthens us in this life. One of the tasks that he performs is that of teaches. But when the Father sent the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything. The Holy Spirit's our teacher. If we are willing to learn, the Holy Spirit will teach us and enlighten us and understand what the Word of God says. He will reveal its meaning to us, that we truth and thereby be able to live in the truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit also reminds us. Jesus went on to say, he will remind you of everything I have told you. You know, sometimes our forgetter works too good, and we forget a lot of things. But the Holy Spirit is going to remind us and help us to remember the things, the teachings that we have learned. He is going to help us to remember what it is Jesus said and the way Jesus instructs us to live. And we find this reminder is really going to be important. The Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. He will come convicting and convincing the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He will come leading us into fellowship with God. He will come to guide us into truth. John 16:13 says, but when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. Folks, the Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. He is going to teach us the truth. He is going to speak the words of Jesus, who spoke the words of God the Father. So he is going to teach us the truth about God. You know, does that really sound familiar? The truth? The Bible tells us that Jesus is the truth. And now we find the Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. They are the Advocate together, helping us down through life. Spirit doesn't speak on his own. He speaks the words of Jesus. He brings the words of eternal life to us. You see, this reveals to us God. It reveals to us that God is present. He is a present God in our lives, opening up a pathway, a fellowship with God where we are not alone. We are not forgotten. You see, the Holy Spirit is essential in a relationship and in fellowship with God. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? I think it's important to notice not everyone will receive him. It's not that they can't, because they can't. It's the very fact that they won't. Jesus said the world won't receive. It isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. So that tells us there are some prerequisites, something that has to take place for one to receive the Holy Spirit. And the first prerequisite is simply this. We need to recognize him. How do we recognize him? We recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has come to save us from our sins, and we confess our sins. And we believe into him for salvation, and we accept the presence of God into our life. But then we also have to do some looking. You see, here's the thing we know. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. We also know that Jesus asked the Father to send him. So that tells us something right there. God wants us to experience fellowship with him. God wants us to know the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what God wants. But what's our part? What must we do? Well, once we have accepted Christ as our Savior, we need to look for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the world doesn't have him because it's not looking for him. So as followers of Christ, verse 17 tells us we need to be looking. So how do we look? One, we have this desire in our heart and life to know the fullness of God in our life. To know for sure that we're not alone and we haven't been forgotten, that he is with us. And then we do what Jesus told us to do. We have to love. You know, to love is the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love. But it's interesting to note that what Jesus is talking about here isn't a commandment. It's a choice. We have to choose to love. It's a choice. It's not about just following a commandment. It's choosing to follow that commandment. It's choosing to love. To choose to love is to seek the best for God, the best for others, no matter what the circumstance. We seek the good for others regardless of what has been done to us. No matter how much we may hurt, no matter how it is we might feel, we still choose to love. We choose to reach out in love, desiring nothing but the best for everyone else around us. It's a choice we have to make. You know, that tells us one thing. Love costs. Love is expensive. It don't come cheap. Love is characterized by a willing forfeiture of rights or privileges in another's behalf. In other words, I give up my rights to express love. I give up my rights to demonstrate love. I give up what it is I think I ought to do, to choose to love the way God instructs me to love. You know, the thing is, this is exactly what Jesus did for us. He showed love. He demonstrated love. He demonstrated love when he endured a mock trial. He demonstrated love when he wore the crown of thorns and he endured the beatings. He demonstrated love when he hung upon the cross of Calvary and he died. You see, Jesus' love for us was very costly. And that's the kind of love that he is calling on us to do. See, to look for the Holy Spirit, we must be a people of love who choose to love so much, especially God, that we will obey. And so we find also part of looking for the Holy Spirit and welcoming Him into our lives is not only do we love, but we must obey. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. It is by loving we demonstrate and show that we really do love God. It's by obedience that we do that. If we don't obey, we really don't love Him. And if we really don't love Him, He can't make His home in us. We can't know His presence. You know, it's important to note that Jesus' great commandment is the greatest commandment is the great commandment, which is to love. And then we're to show that through obedience. But what we also discover is, just like love cost, obedience cost. Obedience is expensive. Obedience will require a forfeiture of your rights. You forfeit them. You give up your way for God's way. You know what that really comes down to is, we come to the very place Jesus came to in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, not my will, but yours be done. That's the place we have to come to in our life. God, not what I want. God, not my will, but God, may your will be done in my life. Verses 23 and 24, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. And my Father will love them, and I will come to them and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And so there it is. You want to know the presence of God in your life continually? Show your love through obedience. You want to know His presence when things in your life are going sideways? You want to know His presence when you feel all alone, maybe even forgotten? Then continue to show love through obedience. You want the gift that God has promised? The assurance of His presence? Do you want the Holy Spirit to fill your life and make His home in you? Then love Jesus by obeying His commandments, demonstrating that love. It's as simple as that. And it's also as hard as that. Exercising and demonstrating a very costly, expensive love that results in obedience no matter what. So show and demonstrate your love through obedience. Do you know the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life today? If you don't, I would encourage you. Seek for Him through a life of love and obedience to Jesus Christ. Long for His presence. Because Jesus is asking the Father, and the Father wants to give you His gift of the Holy Spirit, but they will not force the Holy Spirit on you. And the Holy Spirit will not force His way into your life. You see, you're only going to know the presence of God in your life, and that continually, when you open yourself up and invite them in and long for their presence and live a life demonstrating your love by obedience to Him. So when you're tired of being an orphan, when you're tired of living without the presence of Jesus and without fellowship with God, then God is ready. God is ready to come and make you His home, that you might know His presence, that you would know you're not alone, that you would know you are not forgotten. The presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is a reality that Jesus promised for all who would love and obey Him. Do you know the presence of the promise in your life today? If not, you can. Dear God, this morning, we just come to You with hungry hearts. Dear God, we want to know and know continually the presence, Your presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to know, dear God, that we're not, even when we feel alone. We want to know, dear God, that we're not forgotten, even when we feel forgotten. We want to know, dear God, that You are with us when we're climbing the mountains and when we're going down the mountains, when we're trudging through the valleys and when we're sitting on the mountain peak. Dear God, we want to know. We look for Your presence today. Dear God, the song we sang this morning said, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth, come down, fix in us Thy humble dwelling, all Thy faithful mercies crown. Dear God, that's our prayer today. Dear God, I pray today that if somebody really doesn't know Your presence in their life today, that today, dear God, they would seek You. They would long for You. They would confess their sins, dear God, and accept You as Lord into their life. And dear God, they would begin living this life of love and obedience, longing to know the fullness of Your Spirit in their life. And dear God, may they discover a very present God who created us for fellowship with You. May we know that fellowship every day, dear God. We praise You and we thank You, dear God, today for the blessings You have poured out into our life. We praise You and thank You for Your presence. We thank You, dear God, for the week ahead. We pray, dear God, that You would just surround us, that You would enable us. May we, dear God, be a light shining for You in the world in which we live, that somebody else may come to know the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father in their life. May their life be changed and transformed forever. Thank You, dear God, for all You do. We give You praise and glory today. Amen. Well, we thank You for coming this morning. I trust you have been blessed. And you are equipped and ready to go out into the world today to be a shining light for Jesus. Bless you and have a great week.